Good morning, Sunrise. We are so glad that you're with us, and we welcome anyone that's visiting, anyone that's found us online and is joining us this morning, and we are just very grateful that you're here, that we are here, and that we can vicariously worship our Father in heaven together. So a few notes, and then we'll get into it actually. So I wanted to make a few just housekeeping announcements and how we're doing things. This week is a little bit different than last week. We're trying to improve and we're trying to make things better and easier to use. We've added a song service this week. And so Chester is going to lead us in some singing. It's a separate file. So after you get through with the worship service this morning, you can go to that file and he's going to lead us in song. And so have your family sing with him. And I know that we miss hearing each other's voices, but this will be an opportunity for us to continue to worship and praise together. So check out that other file when this file is over. So that keeps everybody safe, everybody separate, but still give us an opportunity to sing and add that aspect into our worship time this morning. Some other things that we're going to do, if you are just joining us for the first time, we're going to have some announcements. We're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to have the sermon message, and then we will have a time of communion together. So I hope you have your Bible, and I hope you have your communion supplies ready and set to go for that. Some more announcements. 9:30, you can pick up communion supplies. Well, this is after 9:30, so if you haven't picked those up, we'll have those next week, or if you need them delivered, let us know. Tony said he would be glad to deliver supplies. I know he gave out some bigger supplies last week, so I hope everybody is doing okay with that. But if not, let us know. All right, a few things we're going to remember in our prayers. Number one is the Spear family. Matt's dad passed a couple weeks ago, so continue to lift them up and continue to remember them in prayer as they go through this time. Number two, the McCoy family. We are congratulations and celebrations and hallelujah and praise God. Charlie is expecting, and so we are so glad for them. We are so excited for them, and we just pray that you will be at peace. We'll just enjoy this time, and we just ask that everybody remember them in prayer, and then if you reach out to them, you can offer congratulations. Another prayer request we've had is that Janet told us that through this whole time that a lot of her former students from World Bible School have actually been reaching back out and wanting to reconnect because of all of this virus going around. That is an amazing thing. That is something that God is doing to use these circumstances to bring good. And that leads me to a couple things this morning. Number one, I want some feedback this week. Didn't get much last week. And I'm not talking about our video production, or I'm not asking for critiquing of how we're doing these things. I'm asking just for feedback for your lives. What is God doing? What is God showing you through these things? I've been praying for the past couple of days. The Lord put it on my heart that, you know, some things in our lives and in our church and in this world are going to go back to normal when all this is over, and some things are not going to go back to normal. I want you to start asking your Father in heaven what needs to go back to normal and what needs to change. Now, that may be work and school and church and your lives, your heart, your faith. That's what I'm most concerned with. I want you to be asking God, what do these things that I have learned or have had to change or adapt, what are these things do I need to keep? Is it time with your family? Are you taking this time with your family that, you know what, we've been turning the TV off because just enough is enough. So maybe the Lord is using this attention getter because he has got all of our attention. He has got all of us paying attention and listening. So I want you to be praying about him to show you what are some things I need to get rid of in my life and what are some things that I need to add to my life after this experience that we've had through all of this self-isolation. I believe that this is one of the best ways God has used in a long time to get all of our attention. He's got our collective attention. We are paying attention, and our ears are open, our eyes are open. So let's figure out what he is trying to share. So some of your feedback this week, I want you to share some good things. What are some good things that have come from all of this? What are some good things that you have noticed, recognized, that God has blessed you with? So throw a message on our Facebook page. Just give us something quick, or if you have anything that you want to share to be lifted up in prayer or that you need us to pray for, we want to take that opportunity next week as well. So please share those things with us. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this opportunity this morning. We are grateful being separated physically, but being able to connect spiritually. We are grateful for this opportunity to have this help of technology that is allowing us to reach out this morning into bedrooms and living rooms and homes. And we just pray, Lord, that all of your people today will lift you up, will praise your holy name, will have our faith strengthened and encouraged by your word, by the bread of life, by our communion time together, and by songs of praise. Father, we give you all that we have. And we confess to you, Father, our frustrations and our fears and our worries during all of this time. But Father, we also confess to you and we remind ourselves that you are God, that everything is still in your capable hands, that you are going to work all things out for good. Father, you know us, you created us, and you know that we don't like having our lives disrupted or changed. But I recognize, Father, that you're using this big disruption and this big change to get our attention. So I pray, Father, that your people will pay attention, that we will listen, that we will have ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, we pray that after all of this, that through all of this, that what is important in our lives will be preserved. And I pray that through all of this and through everything that we've gone through, that what we need to let go of, what we need to release, Father, we will have the faith to release it. I lift up our families, Father. I lift them up and I ask your blessings to be upon them. I pray that your name is on their lips, that your Holy Spirit is in their hearts, and that you are with them every step of the way. Father, we lift up the Spear family. And we just ask that you continue to give them your presence and your peace. And Father, we lift up the McCoy family and we just join in celebrating with them with their wonderful good news. We thank you for blessing them and we ask for health and we ask for strength. And we just ask that you make Chester and Charlie wonderful parents and faithful parents. And we just can't wait to be together with them again and congratulate them and to celebrate with them. Our Father in heaven, we lift up those World Bible School students that are coming back to you from all of this, that are reaching out again and have been brought to their knees and realize that they need you. Father, we praise you for this, and we are so very thankful to witness just people turning their hearts back to you. And Father, we pray that we will continue to use our circumstances and our testimony and our lives to be encouraging and reach out to those around us. Father, help us, encourage us and strengthen us and give us wisdom to know and to understand how we may live our faith in front of you and for all those around us. Father, we thank you for forgiving our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that this morning will be a time of encouragement for our members and a time of glory for you. We love you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and open your Bible to Psalm 125. Psalm 125, we have been covering these songs of ascent, these songs, this collection of psalms here in the middle of the book that God's people sang together, that they used to encourage in their times of pilgrimage to come to the Holy Land, to come to Jerusalem during their times of festival. And this was basically their songbook. This was their soundtrack of travel and arrival as they get to come together and to worship God. And I know through all of this and all of our time, that has driven us physically apart, that when we come together, we are going to have such amazing singing. We are going to all be so thankful for lifting our voices and praising God together, that we get to see a vision of what used to happen with God's people, and we get to look forward to a time in the future with God's people, not only in heaven when we are with all the saints, but as we sunrise, as we get to come back together, we look forward to that day. We want that day to come quickly. But we also want it to come safely. And so we are looking at these songs and seeing what do God's people need to see from them. So open up to Psalm 125. And this morning, here's what I want us to think about as we take a look at this psalm. You know, sometimes every single one of us, each and every one of us, view our personal circumstances as a challenge to our faith. This morning, I want us to flip that on its head, and I want us to see the certainty of God's promises as a challenge to our doubts. You know, sometimes it feels like our Christian walk is uncertain, that what we experience and what we go through just makes it feel like we are walking on loose footing, that the ground beneath us is shifting and changing and shaken and being destroyed. But church, we walk on solid ground. And Psalm 125, the lesson here, this shows us that where we stand is certain. Where we stand is solid. And where we stand, God is holding together. So let's read Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 125. Those who trust in God, those who have faith in God, are immovable. We are as solid as Mount Zion. We are on God's mountain. We are on good footing. We are surrounded by His love, and we are surrounded by His care. And we stand, church, on stable ground. His love surrounds us. Just like, and this is a geography lesson, just like the mountains surrounded the town of Jerusalem, this song says that God's love surrounds each and every one of us, that we are secure in the love of God, that the ground beneath us will not fall away, and the mountains around us will protect us from everything that shows up, that comes to attack us. And he says, that is those who have faith in God. Church, that is you, and that is me. This morning, we have faith in God. We have faith in God, and just like those mountains that His holy city rests in and are surrounded by, we are surrounded by God's love. We are surrounded by His strength. We are surrounded by His care. And because of that fact, this morning, I want us to look at our faith and have our faith and the certainty of God's word challenge the doubts and the fears that come up from time to time. Because God's word is certain. It is eternal. It is not changing. Our doubts, our fears, our worries, those things are going to come and go. What we're going through right now is different than what we worried about last year or 5 years ago. Now, church, if you've been paying attention, I've said this to you before, that the problems that we go through now are different than the problems that we worried about a month ago. And we're going to have new problems that we're going to have to worry about a month from now. So I don't put my faith and my hope in the challenges. And I also don't give too much credit to the challenges, because they come and they go, and God's word will remain. So number one, God's truth. I want it to challenge our feelings. Our feelings need to be challenged by the truth of God's word. Now, think about our lives right now, today. Think about you huddled with your family around your phone or your laptop, and just the way things are so different, and you and I are having real feelings about all this. We're having real feelings about all this. Isolation, it'll make us fearful. It'll make us depressed. Some of us just have feelings of insecurity, and some of us are just unsure. And we get these feelings from what our job's going to look like. We get these feelings from just lack of social interaction. And so some of us I know have come together and have watched this video, and right now you're feeling sad, you're feeling scared, and you're feeling depressed. well, those feelings are going to change. I mean, it's where you are today, but it's not where you're always going to be. So let's challenge our feelings with some truth from God's Word. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, we get some awesome truth. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. John says to the church, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." So the truth from God's Word, the eternal truth that is being shared with us this morning, is that God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our hearts. So today, this week, I want you to challenge your feelings with God's truth that God is greater than your feelings. So when those feelings start to come in and to hit you from every direction, and you start to get too down, or you start to find yourself just, wow, I've spent the last 3 hours worrying about this one aspect of my situation in life, I want you to challenge your feelings with the truth of God. Okay? Because we've probably given enough time challenging the truth of God with all of our feelings, so let's turn it around. Let's turn it around and realize that what we stand upon, what we are surrounded by, is God's truth, is God's love, is the fact that God is greater than our hearts. We may be scared today. We may be worried today. A month ago, you may have had a birthday. You may have had a get-together with loved ones. You may have had something happen to you that was really awesome, and you were just happy. You were filled with joy. You were just overwhelmed with love. See how those feelings change? See, God gave us those feelings. And your feelings are okay. All right, we're not going to stand up here and we're not going to try to make anybody sit at home and feel worse and say, "All right, now, no more fear. Trust in God. Now quit it." Because it's not very Christian for you to be low or to have a bad day or to be depressed. Church, we are made in the image of God. But God made us to dwell. His gift of His Spirit dwells in this weak vessel. And so I understand, and I want you to understand, that we're going to have those times in our life, and we're going to have those chapters in our life. But that's all they are. They're just chapters to a greater story. So I want you to challenge your feelings with the truth of God's Word. I want you to remind yourself, when it gets too much, when it becomes overwhelming, go to the truth in God's Word. God is greater than your heart. God loves you so much, and He has you surrounded. Yes, He allows us to go through the realities of this life. He allows us to go through the difficulties of this life. He makes us real. We're not robots. We're just like anybody else. We have real feelings, and so we're not trying to discount our feelings. We are just going to experience our feelings in light of what is eternal, and that is God's truth. God is greater than our heart. Number two, what usually challenges our faith is pain and suffering. Well, I want us to challenge pain and suffering with the truth of God's Word and our faith in it. Emotional and physical pain are real. We suffer the same things that everybody else in this world suffers. We go through things. It's just why, it's just like when we have prayer requests. We lift up those that we work with, that are in our family, our extended family. And so we know the pain and suffering of those around us. We also share our own pain and suffering with each other. And so just the years of prayers and people that we have lifted up together, Sunrise, we know the emotional and physical pain that this life brings. But I want us to challenge our suffering by taking a closer look at where our suffering occurs. Where does our suffering happen? Go back to Psalm 125 and take a look at verse 3. Psalm 125:3 says, "The scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous." So, the psalm says, the scepter of wickedness will not rest with us. It will pass. It will pass. Pain and suffering do not make their home with us. They just visit us from time to time. And I know, if you've been in pain, if you've been sick, or if you've been suffering, sometimes it feels like it's going on forever. Sometimes it does, but it will not make its home with us. That is a promise from God. So challenge your pain and suffering. Challenge your pain and suffering. Look it right in the eye and say, look, I know you're here, and you may be here for a while, and you may be here to stay, but your pain and suffering occurs in the presence of God, safely guarded by His love and by His protection. And so that pain and suffering is temporary. It's not eternal. It's not going to last. It will go away. It may go away next week. It may go away next year. And it may go away when you're done with this physical body and you are finally in the presence of God. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I do know that it's temporary. So challenge our suffering. Challenge your suffering today and this week by looking at it in its temporary nature. Your suffering's temporary. All of it's temporary. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul helped us understand this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes to us, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." All right. This is a wonderful promise from God's Word, and I want you to challenge your pain and suffering with the truth of God's Word here this morning. I want you to hear the words that Paul uses to compare these things. The suffering that we see, the suffering that we experience, that we go through, that afflicts our body, that afflicts our mind from time to time, it is transient. It is passing. That is a very light word. It's a very temporary word. That's a very plastic bag you get from Walmart kind of word. All right? It's not made to last. It's not made to last. You wouldn't build your house out of Walmart sacks. You wouldn't do it. Because they wouldn't last. The first storm that came through, those Walmart sacks would be stuck in the tree across the street. I mean, you've probably seen Walmart sacks on a windy road just kind of that have snagged on a branch. You wouldn't build your house with something so light and temporary. And that's what the Apostle Paul says here. Our problems and our sufferings and our pain, those things are light and they're temporary. They're Walmart sacks. They're blown away. But the truth of God, the eternal weight of glory, the house, the eternal home that He is building for His children, for His faithful, that has weight. I mean, that is brick and mortar. It's going to last. It's going to last. You can rest assured that if God is building the home, it's going to last. Just like the mountain that Psalm 125 that is underneath our feet, just like the hills that surround us, that protect us from every side, just like God's love that looks over us and cares for us each and every day, those light, momentary, temporary problems are going to come through. They're going to sweep through. Today, look, we've all got problems. We've all got pain and we've all got suffering from how our lives have been changed. But this is not eternity. This is temporary. It's something we're going through. So let's challenge what is temporary with what is eternal. And that is the glory, the weight of everything that God has built for us, given us, and is reserving for us in the future. So challenge what you see, the temporary things, with what you can't see. Back in Psalm 125, in verse 4, one of the greatest ways to do this is do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. It's one of our oldest favorite songs. It's one of the oldest favorite truths that God's history is so good and can be trusted. I can trust God with today and with tomorrow because he did such a good job of getting me through yesterday. So I don't just face today and say, oh no, it's a whole new day. It's a whole new ballgame. This is a whole new challenge. No, it's temporary. Challenge that with the truth of God, with the eternal nature of God's word, with God's promises, because he is building for us something that has real weight. All right, number three, here's the third thing that we need to challenge with our faith. We need to challenge our fears of losing our security or our salvation. Every single one of us, since becoming a Christian, has done something that we are just ashamed of, that we are just embarrassed of. We have done something, we have treated someone horrible, or we have done something privately that just when we even think about it, when the enemy brings it up to mind again, we are embarrassed. We are ashamed. And from time to time, the enemy is going to use those things that we've done to make us start questioning our own salvation. The enemy's going to say, I don't know how God can love that because you knew the truth. You gave yourself, your life to God in baptism. You allowed him to wash away all your sins. He gives you a fresh start and then you just go and this is what you've done with that? God's not going to be happy with that. Look, all of us have struggled with this and all of us have had fears of losing our eternal security. You ever notice that, I've noticed this, maybe you have too. You notice that those who walk with God, those who call themselves Christians, think too much about being lost. And those that don't know God never have any fear of their being eternally lost. That struck anybody else? I don't know, maybe some of you over here, but I don't know. It's a thought I had that those of us that are safe on God's mountain, we think way too much about being lost, about being let go, about being forsaken by God. And those that are lost, those that are stuck in their own sin, those that are still spiritually dead, they don't think about being lost enough. They don't consider it. They just look around at their reality and say, this must be it. This must be it. There's nothing more. There's not much more. It's just not that good. Well, let's turn that on its head. Psalm 125, it ends with those who turn aside to their evil. And look what he says. Those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Now, church, that's not you. That's not you. That's not me. If we are still struggling with our sin, if we are still just each and every day saying, God, I confess to you that I'm not perfect, and God, I'm trying to figure out how to walk with you, how to be faithful, how to be filled with your Holy Spirit, how to love my neighbor, how to love you properly. If we're still wrestling with those things, we have not turned aside. So we need to celebrate this. If you're still wrestling in your Christian walk, you're still where you're supposed to be. The Apostle Paul says, look, I haven't achieved perfection. I'm not done. I'm not finished. I'm pressing on towards the goal. And in any goal that we press towards, we're going to have great days and we're going to have bad days. We're going to have championships and we're going to have last place finishes. That's just the nature of everything. And so as our Christian walk, as we look at ourselves, we need to challenge our fears of losing our souls, of losing our salvation. We all know that falling away is a possibility. That's a reality. I can fall away. You can fall away. But what we need to know, church, is that God doesn't let go. God doesn't let go. Look, people say no. People say no. No thank you to that good news of Jesus. I don't believe it. I don't want it. No thank you. I want to run my own life. People quit. People quit. They've been walking with God and it's for whatever reason, someday they just say, no. Everything that I know, I don't want it anymore. People can turn aside. And that's what this psalm ends with. It says, look, people that turn aside from God, God's going to allow them to walk right out the door. That's truth. That's reality. If someone chooses to not be with our Heavenly Father, He's not going to force them to. But church, you and I, that's not us. You and I are those who are still getting up every day and saying, you know what? I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. I've put my faith in Jesus' death for my sins, and I will continue to trust that. And you and I will get up today, and we'll get up tomorrow, and we'll say, I am not a perfect Christian. I am not finished. I am not done, but I am still pressing forward. Now, it's another day, it's another lesson, and really there's just a lot in there. There's a lot in there that we could go and we could see the stories throughout the Bible of people that turned away from God. Or we could take a look at those scriptures in which it tells us. I took a look for this. We're not going to read it, but you can look at Hebrews 4 and 5. You can see that teaching that some that have been enlightened by the truth of God have just for whatever reason decided, that's not for me anymore. God's going to let them go away. God's going to let them quit. But those of us that want to stay faithful, those of us that want to stay true to God, God is going to hold us tightly. So I want you to challenge your fear of losing your security with the truth of God. Let's turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the words of Jesus. If you have one, they'll be in red. And this is a great place to end this message this morning. John chapter 6, let's go down to verse 36. 35, sorry. John 6, 35. Listen to our Lord and Savior, what He has to say. John 6, 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you've seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I, here it is, listen up, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, says, anyone that the Father has given to me, I will hold on to. I will not lose them. Now, church, we can look at the other side of that and say, but Michael, you can run away from the clutches of Jesus. You sure can. You sure can. Think about your marriage. Your marriage, you made a vow. You made a vow to be faithful till death does you part. Or did you part? Sherry's not here. Till death does us part, we made a vow. Can people break that? Absolutely. They can. They can. People can choose to say, you know what? I choose to break my vow. You and I can choose to say, I don't want to be held on by Jesus anymore. And He's not going to force us. But as long as we choose to continue to be held on by Jesus, Jesus is going to hold on to us. He is not going to lose anyone that's been given to Him. So we need to challenge our fears of losing our security with the reality that Jesus says, I have you. I have you. As long as you'll have me, as long as you'll let me, I have you. Church, that is such good news and that is such encouragement. Because there's probably a few of us that have worried, that have feared, if we even allowed ourselves to go to that deep, dark place of our minds and our hearts, am I really saved? Are my sins really forgiven? Church, the fact that you're asking that question, well, that's a good sign that you're in good standing. The fact that you love God enough to care about the effect that your sin has on Him, that shows that you are well within the safety and the love of the powerful arms of God and the powerful embrace of Jesus. So whenever you have those fears of losing your security or your salvation, go back to John chapter 6 and listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, I will not lose anyone. Anyone that's lost, it's not on Jesus. That's on the anyone. The anyone can choose to not be found. The anyone can choose not to return to their father's house. Anyone can choose not to repent, to turn back to God. Anyone can choose to live their life apart from God. God loves us enough to allow us that freedom. But anyone that wants to be close to God, anyone that wants to live with God, anyone that wants to be taken care of by our Lord and Savior, Jesus will not let us go. And that is secure. That is security. So, challenge your fears of being lost with the security of Jesus' claim. And know that He will not cast you out, but He will raise you up. He'll raise you up. He'll raise me up. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that just as the Father allowed the Son to die on the cross, paying the debt for all of our sins, and took His dead body and put it in the ground, just as any other dead body, our Father in heaven did not allow His body to see corruption. Our Father in heaven raised Him up for all eternity, never to have such pain and suffering again. Church, that's our promise. That's our security. That is what we have, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried in the ground, and that He was raised to a new life. Church, that's our confession. That's our faith. That's what we put our hope in. And just as Jesus has gone through that, you and I will go through that. You and I will be rescued, will be brought back, will not stay in the ground. You and I, by our loving Savior, by our Heavenly Father, will be restored. So, it is my prayer and it is my hope that this morning, that this message is good for you. So I want you to start thinking in a new way. When those fears and doubts and worries and pain and suffering and insecurities, when those come in to challenge your faith, I want you to turn that on its head, and I want you to start challenging your fears and your insecurities and your worries and your pain and your suffering. Challenge those things with the eternal truth of God. Because only one of the things out of those two possibilities, only one of them are going to be left standing. Everything temporary is going to fall away. Everything temporary is not going to last. God's Word is eternal. It will last. You in Jesus Christ are eternal. You will last. So hang on to those things. Hang on to those things. All right. We're gonna change the channel a little bit, and we're gonna go into our time of communion together. So if you want to go ahead and get your supplies for you and your family together. This morning, as we take our time to commune around the table of the Lord, I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that they're not getting things right. They're coming together and they think they're doing the things they're supposed to be doing. They think they're taking the Lord's Supper, and the Apostle Paul looks at them and says, look, what you're doing, you may call it the Lord's Supper, but that's not really the Lord's Supper. You guys are not waiting for each other. You've got a rich section, you got a poor section, your potluck is all out of whack. You don't just let the poor people go first, but you that have a bunch of food, you just go and you just eat your food. And if someone is without, you don't care. You didn't bring enough for everybody anyway. And so this connection of their potluck meal and their Lord's Supper together was just a big mess. And Paul also told him, he says, look, you're just eating all your food, you're drinking all your wine, you're getting drunk, and you are forgetting why you were called around the Lord's table in the first place. So let's take a look at what he says of how it's supposed to look. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll read from verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink My cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Church, let's pray together for the body of Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins and do for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that is remove the stain of sin. Father, we celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus together, and as we take this bread, may we search our hearts, may we search our minds, may we remember the sacrifice, the debt paid on our behalf. May we remember the suffering gone through so that we could live. May we remember the awesome life of Jesus Christ given through us, to us, for us, out of your love. Father, we praise your name, and we take this bread and we remember what Jesus has done for us. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Church, let's pray together for the cup. Our Father in heaven, we partake this cup. And today we're having to do so from a lot of different places. But we are all taking the same cup, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The blood that inaugurated and ushered in a new covenant. A covenant of forgiveness. A covenant in which your word, your promise, is that you don't remember our sins anymore. That we are covered through his blood. Father, this is the greatest, most precious thing that we have. The blood of your holy Son. We thank you. We thank you for your willingness to die, to suffer for our sins. We thank you for your sacrifice that makes it possible for us to be alive, for us to be forgiven, for us to be eternal, and for us to be near you every step of the way. We thank you for the sacrifice. And as we take of this cup, may we remember our own need for it, and may we celebrate its eternal promise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church, one final thing. We are so very glad that you are joining us, that you have joined us today. And it is our constant prayer for you that you be faithful, that you be strong, that you trust in God. He's going to get us through. He's going to see us through. And again, you and I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, but he does. He does. And that's the most important thing. Because it honestly doesn't matter if I understand or if I agree with everything that's happened, that's being done, or that's, you know, that's being perpetrated upon us. But I do know that all of this is under God's purview. I do know that God is still God, that he is in charge. And so we will continue to pray for each and every one of you. And we just, our prayer, our wish, our desire is that you continue to remember Jesus. To remember to love him with all that you have. That you continue to love your neighbor. And I know some of that is challenging right now. But find ways to love your neighbor. Find ways to do good for others around you. Find ways to not be fearful. but to be strong in your faith and to continue to do the good things that you know to do. We are so glad that you joined us today, and until we can be face to face, we just pray that this service is encouraging and uplifting. I remind you one more time, there is that song service. It's another file, so open that one up and have your family spend some time singing songs of praise until we see each other again, until we get to pray together again, until we get to sing again. We thank you so much for joining us today. One more quick prayer. Father in heaven, we lift up the body here at Sunrise, and I commit them to you. I pray that you comfort, protect, and guide our steps. I pray, Father, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be your people wherever that is and however that looks like. Father, we confess to you that we don't understand everything that's going on, and we don't even agree with everything that's going on, Father, but we confess that we trust you through all that is going on. We love you, and we thank you for your love for us. We pray in Jesus' name.